Hey, welcome back to Viewer's Point, where I will still be giving my unasked for, unsolicited, and unwanted opinion on your favorite TV and movies. Let's go! Welcome back, everyone. Welcome in. I'm so excited to be here today. And I'm just so excited to be here today. I haven't recorded normally in a while, and I haven't recorded kind of stress-free in a while. So this is gonna be excited. Usually every time I'm recording, it's like so much going on and I'm extremely stressed. And so this is kind of like the first day in a while that I'm not. And that might have something to do with the fact that it's summertime. I mean, I think it's been summer for a while, but now it's Is it actually summer or summer? I actually have no idea. I could just be chatting, but I'm whatever. It's summer break. And I am so excited to be here to talk about such. I mean, this show couldn't possibly align with my show or with my podcast more. Honestly, that's what's crazy to me is this couldn't be more perfect to talk about on this podcast. I'm so excited that this was made and that this was well received the way it was, but I am going to give my honest opinion here. So if you love this show, if you hate this show, this is the place for you because I will be giving my honest opinion and we'll go from there. So I guess first we should start off by giving a little overview of this little show, this little Netflix hit called Forever. We're gonna chat GPT this synopsis because I was like looking for it. I was thinking, I'm like, wait, why don't I just chat GPT it? I was like, am I that dumb that I didn't even that didn't even go through my head to do that? So we're gonna do it. And I skimmed over it and I was like, this is actually solid. And like, of course it is. So you might be hearing those from now on. Forever, a Netflix limited series. Oh. That's wrong. I don't, it's not a limited series. See, already, ChatGPT already letting me down. God, okay, my bad. Is a coming of age romance inspired by Judy Blume's 1975 novel, reimagined for a modern audience. The show follows two black teenagers, Keisha Clark and Justin Edwards, as they navigate the joys and challenges of their first high school relationship in 2018 Los Angeles. There's just so much wrong about that already, but well, whatever. The story explores themes of first love, parental pressures, and the complexities of navigating teen relationships in the face of societal expectations, all while grappling with individual dreams and ambitions. That's not bad. That's pretty good. The part where their first high school relationship, that's not true. Keisha was in a relationship before Justin. So, not right. And it's not a limited series. They just got renewed for season two. We're gonna clap it up right here because there's not gonna be a boatload of positivity in this video. I'm gonna be honest, but I want to give praise because of what the project is and what it did of and what it did and just what it is, to be honest. And I'm very proud it got a season two. Round of applause, everyone. Round of applause, round of applause. Give a hand, give a hand. Now, let's get into the nitty-gritty ditty. I'm kidding. Yeah, let's dive in. So I will give my experience how finding out about the show, what were my initial thoughts or my judgmental thoughts or my prejudiced thoughts, whatever you want to call them. I found somewhere that someone was comparing this sh like not someone sorry an article was saying if you love or not an article but whatever saying if you love The Summer I Turned Pretty, you'll love this new Netflix series. And when they said Forever, and they said Forever, and this was before I'd watched the show, I think it was before it even came out, and I was like, oh cool, okay, so we're getting like a fluffy teen rom-com but for black people and with two black leads and is black love. And I've talked about this on this show that there is such a lack in that in mainstream media and specifically film and television. I've talked about this. If you haven't seen, go check out my Picture This one. I don't remember what I named it, but I talked about the movie Picture This, and I really dived deep into that. But for the sake of this discussion, I will leave that, all that discussion in that topic, in that episode. But I will say I have discussed this and the lack thereof. So when I saw this, like, oh my God, someone's answering my prayers. And that's none other than Mara Brockhill, which of course she does. If you don't know, she has an incredible resume. She did Girlfriends. She did The Game. She did Being Mary Jane. Love Is. If you don't know, all those two black leads, black love stories. So once we saw that she was attached to this project, we knew what we were getting ourselves into. And I was just very, I saw it and I was very excited to get something like this. This is literally what I've been asking for. We need a teen fluffy rom, you know, not rom-com, sorry, teen fluffy, a teen romance slash drama. However, while I was in desperate need of this content, I also, in seeing this content, had my doubts from the very beginning. I didn't see it right away, but there was a lot of positive reaction, and I had a feeling that it wasn't gonna be what I think it would be. And I think just because people are so deprived of this sort of content that they'll take anything someone throws at them and kind of dismiss all the flaws that are, you know, that do take place in the show. And I just had a very strong feeling about that. And I think that is because that usually is what happens when people aren't given a lot of range in that specific genre, content, whatever you want to see on screen. If someone throws something at them, they're going to be like, oh, this is amazing. It's not, but that's the only one you have. So that's the only one you can latch onto, especially in modern age. And so I was very scared that was going to happen. And that was kind of my, where I went into it. Now, to go back to the Summer I Turned Pretty stuff, this is nothing like the Summer I Turned Pretty. Whoever said that, whoever tried to trick people, this is essentially tricking people into saying that. I've seen the Summer I Turned Pretty. I've talked about the Summer I Turned Pretty on this podcast. So if you haven't, check that out. I swear I'm not just promoting. This just happens to be thing, like a lot of what I have done. That's what I'm saying. This show is perfect for this, but I have done this. It's like one of my first episodes, so check it out. It's good. And you should check it out to refresh your memory, because I will be talking about the new season that's coming out. So, you know. Okay. Anyways, there's just no comparison to The Summer I Turned Pretty. Besides, like, there's, like, actually nothing. There's, like, actually nothing that compares the two. The Summer I Turned Pretty is a girl falling in love with two guys. They're both brothers. And pretty much it. That's like literally pretty much it. And it is a teen, while it does have heavy subjects and it has heavy moments, it is very teen fluffy, and it's not super, it's made for teens. It's not overly sexual and doesn't deal with the content that's too mature for teen audiences, and that's unnecessary for teen audiences. And shine a light on the fact that this is happening and this isn't something we should feel ashamed of or shy away from. But there's no reason to be overly explicit with it. That's really what makes the difference between a 16 plus and an 18 plus show. So there is a ginormous difference. And also, not to mention that Summer I Turned Pretty, it's about an Asian girl getting with two white guys. So, and the Asian brother getting with the white girl. So, you know, there's this also, let's not compare the two. But yeah, so it's just not it. And to be honest, I was very disappointed because I found that out when I first watched it. When the first episode came on and Keisha was talking about the video, and I was like, oh my God. And they went the whole, and because I didn't see really the trailer on Netflix. I didn't really want to get too, I don't like to know too much of the story, because I want to be surprised when I'm watching it. And so I didn't know about the sex tape. And so she said, and I was like, oh, brother, no way we are doing this. I did not. Because it just instantly, as soon as she said that, it just got so heavy. That's what I hated about that and that reveal. And it's a personal thing, because I didn't want to see something like that. I didn't want to see something that was so dark and just. And it instantly became, this could be very different for other people, because this is This is very much a personal thing, but it instantly became so unrelatable when she said that, because I'm like, okay, now I can't even fathom what she's going through. Because that, to be honest, yeah, that does happen, but that doesn't happen to the majority of people. That's not what, and I could be, and also let me make this clear, this is based on Judy Blume's novel, so this could be a prominent part in this. And I
And in general, in comparison to The Summer I Turned Pretty, it instantly became a completely different show made for a completely different audience. And I don't think I was that audience. And I think in general, I just really wasn't looking for anything super heavy. I was looking for something a bit lighter.
A lot of the times when they tell black stories, it's so dark and don't want to say depressing, but it kind of reminds me of that Grown-ish episode when Aaron turns on like 12 Years a Slave and everyone's like, oh my God. And people think he's talking about Black Panther. It's just hilarious. But it reminds me of that, where it's like a lot of time black stories can be rooted in such tragedy. And when we say, oh, we want black love, it doesn't mean we want someone from the hood trying to make it out through this. What? Sometimes we just want, oh, just a regular love story, just like you see all the time, but just with two black people. Because a lot of times we go through the same things that they do. It's maybe in a different way, but it's the same sort of story. We're not all too different. And I think they tried to make this a little too distinct to black. And I'm not saying that's wrong, and I'm not saying that's not what people need, but I think this is, again, in terms of me and my opinion, I couldn't relate to a lot of that stuff, and I especially couldn't relate to that element. I was like, okay, whoa. And even with them in the movie theaters, I was like, it's your first date. This is wild. And Justin had every right to be like, girl, hold up. Are you doing this? Because like that is, that's not a normal thing to do, to normalize it and make it seem like, even what Justin was doing, putting his hand on her, that is your first date and you haven't seen, and it's not like you guys were friends and then you guys went out. That would still be crazy. But you guys weren't even, didn't even know each other, or you guys hadn't seen each other for years, and then you go out on a date and then you go that far. Like, that's a little bit much.
And very particular to those two people, because I don't know anyone that's out here doing that shit on a first date. And that just harbored that unrelatability for me.
That I was kind of scared of, you know, that I was a little bit scared of that, and that I kind of sensed before watching it. But yeah, so I wasn't a huge fan of the sex tape. And I'm not, and the thing is, these are essential parts of the show. So I'm not saying it's not right for the show. I just wasn't a fan of it in terms of making a black love story. This just wasn't what I had in mind or what I would want to see. I think there was way too much angst and added drama and miscommunication in the beginning. It was just a lot. There was the I think they blocked each other like a total of four times in the first like two episodes. It was insane. It was a little bit much. I'm not gonna say, I guess I don't relate to it because I've done that, but I haven't, but it was based on serious, it wasn't serious. It was a little bit stupid. But it was, I also didn't unblock the person until like a year later, because I'm not like, I'm, because blocking someone is like, okay, I'm done with them. And this is beyond blocking. It just was so much angst. And before we even got to know them as people, and that was the first thing I have to say. I feel like we didn't really get enough time to get to know them as people individually in the beginning. They have their first date, and I feel like I didn't know either of them yet. And I wasn't a huge fan of that because I couldn't really root for them yet. I know a lot of people root for them because it's like, oh, two black people on screen, we haven't seen that. And I was like that too, but not really, because I knew this is what they were gonna give us. So I kind of kept that in the back of my mind and was like, okay, it's a black love story, cool. But now I need to see what you're gonna deliver with that. And I just wasn't a fan of, I just couldn't connect with them instantly, because that's kind of what they tried to make me do, like instantly connect with them. Their meet cute was adorable. I loved that. But I just didn't know Justin that well, and I didn't know Keisha at all. And so I was kind of just like, okay. And then we were kind of seeing Keisha through Justin's eyes, and then they went on a date, and it just was kind of a lot. And we kind of got to see more of Keisha. We saw more of, sorry, not kind of, we saw more of Keisha after the fact. But I just am not a big fan of how their first, you know, that whole first interactions and them going on a date. It just all happened really fast and they kissed. I'm like, wait. All this big monumental stuff is happening between them two and I don't even know them. Like, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, I can't root for them. So I guess I'm just watching two people talk and kiss and go to the movies and fight and I don't know them. So I wasn't a huge fan of how that was handled. And also I think all this, you know, added angst, which is very accurate, but it's nonetheless, it can be very tiring. There was so much of it in the beginning. I didn't really get to enjoy the honeymoon phase as much because I was already tired out with them. And I know a lot of people didn't feel this way. They kind of was like relieved when it stopped. It's like, oh, I can just love them and be happy for them and kick my feet and it's so cute. And I did want to do that. But at the same time, I was kind of just like, now I'm tired. Like, I feel like I've seen a whole 10 seasons of Ross and Rachel condensed into 2 episodes. And now I'm just like supposed to, oh my God. Like, you know, I was kind of just like, okay, I'm kind of tired of seeing them. Like, when are we going to break up? Because I know it's going to happen. Now, there's also another problem that arose for me. And I will say this. I really, the fact that both of them are athletes felt a little unnecessary to me. Now, hear me out. Justin has money, right? And I'm not saying that people only play sports to get themselves out of bad situations. Not what I'm saying. Especially if with how he turns out. Because he has money and he has access, he can really do anything he aspires to do. A lot of times people play sports when they have this money because that is their one and only passion. But a lot of times they don't because they have options to do what they want to do and not do what they have to do. And again, especially in Justin's case, he has another passion, or maybe an even bigger passion, for music. So it just was kind of strange to me that they made him go down this route of him being a basketball player.
Because he has the means and ability to follow his passions rather than doing what you have to do. I found it a bit redundant and frustrating considering the circumstances they chose to put him in.
And I just personally think that his story not being pursuing his passion and trying to pursue that passion throughout the entirety of the show was a bit of a miss. And again, I just think them both being athletes, I really didn't like seeing that. Because a lot of times that's a lot of times what people see. It's like, okay, Black people, they play sports. Like, you know. And I think there are so many people, especially for me, I've, you know, traveled around the world and there's in the US too, it's like a lot of people and Black people, this is just people, it's not even Black, it's people.
I have witnessed the love and drive young men, white, Black, whatever, have for academics. And a lot of times it's the only place a lot of them feel themselves.
It doesn't, I don't like the fact that it always has to be basketball or it has to be a sport. Even the other, Justin's best friend, he's a football player. And again, I see in the context of the show, it all makes sense in the context of the show because he goes to a PWI, private school. Sorry, I hate that word, or the acronym though. I just hate the word. I'll talk about that later though. He goes to that, and so I'm guessing they're both on scholarship. Oh, maybe not though. That wouldn't make sense because they both have money. Because he has money. I don't know actually now. Okay, my bad. We'll circle back to that. But yeah, and so, but it's like, why couldn't he? If he has money, why couldn't he just be going to a private school as a student? Like what? What is the harm in that? I don't see.
It's also different because she's an athlete too. She's a runner. So we already have the perspective on an athlete. That narrative is covered. When it's coming from both angles, it can practically be labeled as a sports show, even though him and basketball don't really play too much significance. Every single Black kid that shows up in the show is an athlete. It says a lot. It really says a lot. And maybe they're trying to portray the reality of young Black kids in those areas. And if that's the case, then good for them. Just, it's not the story that I wanted to see. And also, this is 2018.
Like, it wasn't 2005 when it was like, you can't make a career out of music.
He literally lives in LA, the center of music and hip hop culture, and he's got money. Like, this isn't such a distant dream.
You know, if this is what he loves and this is, and he did kind of find that out in the show when he listened back to his older recordings. He found that new love of music. So you could go with that, whatever. But I think, I don't know. I think it was kind of a huge miss for him not, like, if him loving music and now starting to take it seriously. Like, oh, I think this is something I want to pursue. And maybe academics isn't his, it doesn't have to, like, not be a strong suit, but just he doesn't really enjoy it. And it's not something he wants to do for the rest of his life. But he's like, well, I do love music. And I want to get serious about this because this is what I want to do. Because I don't really know anything else I want to do with my life right now. I think that could have been a cool route to go down instead of making him an athlete as well as Keisha. In my opinion. I will give it a praise really quick before I kind of, you know, trash it a little more. I'm not even trashing it, though. I'm kind of just giving, they're really my opinions. Like, none of this critiques or whatever that I'm saying has nothing to do with the actual quality of the show in any way. A lot of it's just opinions or things that I would change if I were to do it. And if it wasn't, if it was through my lens or to make it more relatable to me, but it has nothing to do with the actual quality of the show. I do want to say that. But one thing I will say, again, praising the quality of the show, the dialogue is so incredibly accurate. And I don't know, a lot of older people might not be able to say this, but as
I am around that age demographic,
the dialogue is so accurate. It's scary, and I hate how accurate it is. Just the way that they'll text something really long and be like, ugh, and then just be like, hey. It's like, that's so accurate. I've done that before, and I was just talking to someone about that, where I was like, you said something, and I wrote out, like, a whole paragraph response, and then just deleted it and was like, for real? And that's, like, my default settings, just, nah, for real. Like, it's just hilarious. It just reminded me of that. And there's even little things, and they're talking about Naruto, and
they even picked up the cadence in which we speak. The combos representing Gen Z were done exquisitely, and it's something that should be praised more by the public, considering the uproar of the lack of accurate Gen Z representation and writing. Keisha, waiting for his response, hearing a ping and immediately running towards the phone. It's the subtlety in which the show shines. Good job.
We are going to go back to the fact that I did think it was going to be a fluffy romance series, which is what I believe we needed. But I don't want to speak for everybody, so I'll say what I needed. I think that's what I mean, or what people mean when they ask for black love, not black struggle. I mean, just all the baggage that came with Keisha that we found out in the first episode, like I said, the sex tape, was so unexpected. It just, like, it instantly made her unrelatable to the masses and remove the normalcy from her story. So I was just like, okay, because that's not normal. Like, to pretend like this is normal, I hate when shows like this do this and talk about teens and it's like, well, this is what teens go through. No, they don't. The majority of teens do not go through this, okay? This is a select few. So to just sit around and be like, you know, teens go through this. We need to, like, no, they don't. Like, no, they don't. Just like adolescents. It's like, not a lot of them do. I mean, and the thing is, I can't really speak for that one just because it's in another country. So I don't really know what they go through. But yeah, so that was just, I really wasn't a fan of that. And then Keisha still keeping up the facade about Christian, to me, was an instant red flag. And no guy or girl should ever put up with that. I mean, think about it, if it was a guy. Keisha walking with Christian was a problem. Everyone's saying, oh, she was standoffish and she didn't even let him kiss her. No, it was wrong of you. You were there for Justin. Christian came with your mother. You were with Justin. And because he says, hey, can I talk to you? You go and run with him. That's already a problem. You've chosen. that's you've chosen who you would want to be with, whether that is out of your own want, need, whatever. She's saying, I want to doing this for my mother. It doesn't matter. From Justin, it's like, I don't give a fuck. Like, you're still doing it. I'm doing this for my mother. Okay. Well, you're still walking with him. You're still putting up the facade that you're together. And you're telling me that you like me. And I'm telling people that you're, you know, that we're a thing. But then you're going off with this guy. How does that, like, how do you think that makes me feel? I hate when people do that. They're like, oh, I'm just doing this for my mother, but it's affecting me. So it's not a joke, or I mean, it's not a facade, or it's not fake, because you're really doing this and it's affecting me. So yeah, I don't know. And then Keisha asking Justin to understand is beyond not okay for me either. And Justin doing so is just completely wild. Like, I get, I would be a little more understanding if he's like, this is a situation, and completely understand if you want nothing to do with me. But instead, once she does get involved with him, she's kind of like, can you just please try and understand that this is the situation? It's like, no, if he doesn't understand, he doesn't, or if he is already turned off by this, let him do that, because what you're doing is not right. What you're doing is not okay. So if he's okay with it on his own terms, fine by him. But don't try and convince him to try and be okay with something that's simply just not okay. It's very disrespectful, and it's for your own gain, and that's fine. But it's like, it's not actually helping anyone. Like, her logic of, oh, my mom, this is all she has, and this, no, that's not why. You don't want to not see, you don't not want to appear perfect in front of your mother. You don't want her to see that you are exactly who she raises you not to be. And we'll talk about the mother later. That's why you're doing this. You're doing this for yourself. And that's fine, but you can do that without me. Like, that's it. Plain and simple. But, you know, Justin's not like that. Now, I will say this. This is going to be, we're going to get a little controversial here. I really like Christian's character. And let me disclaim this by saying his actions were extremely wrong. And you can't come back from that with that girl, with Keisha. should never get back together. She didn't. That was like, you know, it's an irreparable and unfixable act. There's no going back to that relationship. However, it was understandable, and it was hard to hate him, and I think that was done purposefully. I can't imagine that they wanted you to hate him. And the situation really only reminded me of adolescence. And the point that I made in that episode, if you haven't checked that out, where I made of the fact that girls that young shouldn't send nudes to boys because they're simply not ready to receive nudes. It's less about the woman and what they're willing to do and what they're comfortable with for me. And it's more about the fact that boys are just not ready to receive that. They're too immature to receive something as serious and committing and as intimate as that. I think that lesson should be for all young girls. And I was talking about someone who was like 13, but this goes for Keisha as well. When you think about it, it's such a huge personal and intimate action for a girl to... And oh, wait, sorry, this wasn't nudes. This was sex tape, but it goes the same way. I'm just saying nudes because that's really bad. That relates back to adolescence. But sex tape, nudes, whatever. It's such a personal, that whole thing is such a huge and personal, intimate action for a girl. But for guys, they may not see it just like that. And that's not a bad thing either. That's not like girls mature faster than boys. I believe a lot of the times for guys to view nudes and things of that nature as a way to impress peers and relate it to more of what that piece of footage can do for them rather than what it means to the girl, because they simply just, especially when they're that young, just can't comprehend that notion. And that's where Raising Sons Correct comes into play. That shouldn't be a mindset if they've been raised correct. However, it also should be noted to raise your daughters to make sure that they understand the weight of doing something like this and the consequences to these actions. So a lot of the times they make these mistakes that Christian makes out of just pure oblivion. Because even his reasoning, he's like, She's like, why did you do it? And he's like, I don't want to tell you because it sounds like trash. And that's why where I was kind of like, okay, maybe I can like understand a bit, because it wasn't even just like, oh, I don't want to tell you. It's because like there's no way to justify this, but this isn't gonna sound like good. Like, this isn't good. It was a stupid way it came out. It was stupid of me. And there's the explanation is just as stupid as, you know, what followed. So I really liked the answer. He was just like, it's just gonna sound like dumb shit. And when he told her, it did sound like dumb shit. But it's like, I told you, like, this explanation isn't gonna make it make any more sense than, you know, it already doesn't. I really appreciated that, because that's what a lot of people watch. It's like, there's no reasons. Like, he just said that. He literally just fucking said that. This is gonna sound like some dumb shit. And then he says, you're like, that was some dumb shit. It's like, yeah, exactly. And that's the point. And it's like, even that, it's like, he wasn't expecting, oh, it's gonna go around the whole school. And he was doing it, well, out of a dumb conversation. That's what I mean. Guys are so impulsive, and they do. And because they're so mature, they have these stupid conversations. And because they're impulsive and they're immature and they're boys, they think only in the moment. They don't think ahead. They're like, okay, I'm going to show you this. And not even thinking, hey, what happens if he shows this other person? What, like, they don't even go there. That's my point when I say they don't need to receive those sorts of things. They're not ready for it. That's all it is, in my opinion. I think we're seeing this time and time again. Now, in terms of Keisha, I was not a fan of the way she dealt with Christian. I was really not. Obviously, I said my piece on the mother. It's just like, in trying to do that for her mother. It was for herself. It was disrespectful to Justin. Whatever. But I also think the way she acts so opposed and disgusted by Christian and his actions. But not only is she choosing, or willing to be around him, despite, you know, the reason she has, but when he offers her the chance to work out with a Nike trainer and get the perks, she takes that opportunity. Girl, what? And what's crazy is I've seen people talk about this and react to this, and I've seen nobody hate on this idea. Like, you can't tell me that's not shady. Like, you don't like him, and you don't like what he did to you. You feel that he took advantage of you. You feel that he did all this. But you want to reap his benefits? And nobody talks. Like, it's like we're afraid to talk about this. Nah, that was f***ed up, in my opinion. Like, yeah, he's offering to make a peace offering, but you're like, oh, don't send me flowers. Don't do this. Don't do it for my mom. You're doing this. But then when he offers you something that might actually advance your career, you're like, okay. Okay, he sent out my sex tape, but like, who has morals now? Because this is gonna help, this is gonna benefit me. And then after the workout, you f-ing slap him for doing what he did. Like, you knew what he did before you got there. So it's so, like, I couldn't take her seriously in that scene where he explains everything and then she slaps him and she's like, you know, I have to watch my mom scrape by just to afford to get me into school because you got me kicked out. And we'll talk about that too. But it's like, girl, you're saying this after you're at a place he invited you to help you get ahead. Like, I can't understand you right now. That's how I felt. That's genuinely how I felt. Cause I was just like, okay, this is stupid. I can't take you seriously. And the fact that more people didn't call it out, I'm like, if I was Justin, the fact that Justin never found out about this was ever a plot. If I was Justin, I'd be like, oh, you a gold digger. Sorry. But anyways. When I said I did tell you something that I didn't want to bring up, the fact that she had to move schools, did she have to, or did she let them run her out? Because that's different. That's where, for me, it's like, yeah, I understand it, and it also the fact that it always gets blown back on girls so much more than guys is really fucked up. But at the same time, it's like, we know this. We know this has been going on for forever. We know this is how it works. When stuff like this happens, girls get the blowback. But it's like, so if you know this, why do you do it? And I'm not trying, again, shame any hash or quote unquote victims. But it's, unless it's a minor and fully grown adult situation, or when it's two consenting teens or two consenting adults or whatever, everyone knows that the girl will get the blowback. Why are you even risking it then? Because it's not uncommon knowledge. We know this is what happens. So why put yourself in that situation? My first thing. And secondly, it's like, you chose to leave and let them run you out. You could have stayed. You could have stayed, kept your head down, do what you're doing, or get the people expelled who shared the video and just
push through the tough times with the support of your mother and let the consequences to your actions ride itself out. You chose to let her
think that this was such an awful environment for you that you had to go somewhere else. They didn't suspend you because you have this video. So I don't like the fact that it's like blaming him for that, because while it is, yeah, it's his fault, that wasn't her only choice. Like, that wasn't like the choice was taken away from her. She chose to leave that school to do this. Because honestly, for me, it's like, if I have a scholarship to go here, this is for my dream. I have a dream of going to Howard. I'm not letting anyone run me out. Okay, make fun of me, do this, but I'm still gonna, you know, get my benefits from this. Like, I'm not just gonna leave, you know what I mean? So that part kind of gets me, because she like tries to put that all on him. Like, that's not all on him, you know? First of all, you guys made the video together. It's not like he secretly made the video. You guys made the video together. You sent it to him. And then he sent it to someone else. Yeah, that's not right. But he sent it to someone else just like he sent it to you. Thinking, and obviously not the same thing. It's two people in the video. But he wasn't thinking, oh, I'm going to share this. I'm just going to give it to this person, you know, prove a point, and then I'm going to tell him to delete it. He's stupid. He's a boy. He's stupid. He's an idiot. We talk about guys being stupid all the time. But then when we want to do very serious and mature things, we're like, how could he be so stupid with something like this? I would never give a guy an opportunity like that. Like, that's. I also think as soon as Justin resisted her a bit and wasn't and was like, actually, you've become more questions than answers for me. You're fucking with my head. I'm not feeling this. And Christian offered her a chance to go to prom with her. She just went with it. I'm sorry. Second red flag. And by the way, I'm not even counting the 50 in the beginning. Second red flag. Hello. So I tell you, hey, I'm gonna, just like you said, because you did say that after you blocked me like 20 times. And then you said, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can, whatever. You should go find another Keisha. And I say, so I might just find another Keisha. And you've just been a whole ball of mess for me. That entails you to go back to the person that leaked your sex tape and ruin your life. Like, what does that have to do? What does those two have to do with each other? And the fact that she has to justify it, like, you just told me you wanted to find another Keisha. What does that have to do with you getting back to with that guy? Like, no one's saying you had to bend down on your knees and beg for his, no one's saying that. But how does that have anything to do with the fact that you're going back to Justin? Like, what? Christian. I'm so sorry. Have I been saying that wrong? I could have been saying that wrong. I'm sorry. I mean Christian. Like, no, girl, that makes no sense. Yeah. And then to add on as well, for Keisha, asking Justin to lie for her, what is in general just a horrible situation to put someone in, and especially him. I think anytime, especially if it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, or even a friend, when you're the friend is doing something wrong or the boyfriend is doing something wrong and they're like, can you like not say this? Like, I'm not gonna lie for you. You know, to people that I'm trying to impress, or even not trying to impress, but just, I'm not just gonna like lie for you. Like, just keep me out of it. Like, just don't, if you want to lie, lie. I'm not gonna open my mouth and lie to someone because, you know, you can't tell them the truth. Like, I really hate that idea and that plot of like, oh, I'm lying to my parents, so can, like, you know, lie too. Like, that's not right. I don't think that's right. Like, keep that person away from that. Don't ask them to lie along with you. Like, it's selfish, and it's just,
if you want to be a liar, go ahead, but don't make me one. And also, if your lies start to trickle down to me having to lie to my friends or family, that's simply not happening. When they dropped Keisha off at her house,
he had to straight up lie to his mother, and you could see how much that bothered him. It really struck me, like, that's not right. As a girlfriend, or as someone who claims to love him, that's, I don't think that was a cool move to make. Unnecessary and a little bit cruel, in my opinion. The mother. Now, we're talking about Keisha's mother here. I'm not so sure how I feel about her because I'm not seeing too many people say this, but I see it. Like, I can tell people want to say it, but then they don't. And that's why I like too much people are holding back with the show, and I'm not a fan of it. So now, in the beginning, she clocks Christian's tea with sending Keisha the flowers and it being more than just, oh, promposal. And being like, is he saying sorry for something that he, is he trying to make up for something that he did? She clocks that. She sees that. But in the same sentence or in the same scene, she still encourages her to act a certain way to keep his attention. Like, huh? And you gotta tell me she's a good mom? She's literally, she's seeing this. Like, she has her, she's not dumb. She sees the situation. She clocks the situation. But then she wants to turn around and not be like, maybe you should stay away from this guy. Maybe this isn't the right guy for you. No, she says, you know, it's better to not run with the pack. That'll be easier to get him that way. What? Like,
you know he might have done something to hurt your daughter, yet you're still trying to make sure she ends up with him so that she has that security and status being connected to him.
You can't convince me otherwise. And I'm really tired of seeing these people react to the show and just not say anything. No one wants to agree with her parenting, with her in that situation when she says that, and it'll just be silence.
We're going to praise all the good parenting moments, but stay silent when someone says something extremely detrimental for a young girl. Not calling out the stupid crap is a problem. And speaking of Keisha's mother,
it's like Keisha's body language too. When you're a mother, you notice these things. I mean, even just a friend, whatever. But you can see her body language. Anytime Christian's mentioned, anytime they're talking about it, she's not ecstatic. She's not like, oh my God, this. She's not doing the most to try and convince her of this. So it's like, you can't even read it and be like, oh, she's not that happy, you know? She doesn't seem that ecstatic that he sent her flowers. She doesn't seem that this is happening when he shows up. She doesn't look super happy to see him. So it's like she's very much invested in herself. And anytime she gives advice to her, it's about keeping her man, not doing what's really best for her. And the mother just seems hyper focused and fixated on that. Even when Keisha and Justin were kind of jumping ahead, but even when Keisha and Justin break up, she says, when God takes someone or something away from you, they replace it with the same or better. Or take this time to find yourself and take time for yourself, you know, away from relationships. You've been back to back. She says, oh, you'll find something. But like, it's always about finding a man for her. And I don't, and I'm not saying that's like a wrong thing to portray or that's, I just find it funny that the public isn't scrutinizing that behavior.
Like, nah, that's not what we want to say to our children. And here's why.
And I think it's really concerning, and it says a lot about her, the fact that she doesn't pick up on the hints that her daughter's face drops as soon as he's brought up, because the mother's simply just more invested in the relationship and, my opinion, living vicariously through her as she's kind of going through a shitty time.
That's my piece on Keisha's mother.
Why did we need to see Justin's bare ass? Can someone tell me? Or see him shaving? This is so extra. And it's the fact that you can't even skip it because you don't see it coming. It's so unbelievably unnecessary. And it's just for the sake of because you can. And the fact that it's 18 plus. Not a fan of it. But we're gonna chat about this for a little bit, because there's also the fact that they do have sex in this show, Justin and Keisha. And that isn't exactly the problem I have. I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to give a realistic portrayal. But I do think it's unnecessarily graphic. We could just know after they finish doing what they're doing that it was awkward and not good just based off their body language and, you know, the way they speak to one another after the fact. But I think just seeing it all unfold, I think is just too much, in my opinion. It's like, I don't want to see that. I don't see that. I skipped it. I skipped it when they finished. And guess what? I got the gist of what happened. You don't need to see everything. This isn't an educational channel. Like, what the, you know, like, okay. And because you also, I don't want to skip ahead to my point here, but because you made the show 18 plus, a lot of people under 18 are not really watching this. And a lot of people above that age have already experienced it. So now this is just extra strange and uncomfortable. Again, to go back to my other point, I think the nudity of Justin, again, it's incredibly uncomfortable. And it's also uncomfortable because of the fact that they're underage in the show. They're supposed to be underage in the show. And no one wants to see children doing all that. It's that same logic with Euphoria. It's like, yeah, they're not 16, 17, but the point is that they're playing 16, 17 year olds. So to see all of that, and I'm supposed to also believe they're 16, 17, it's weird. It's like, okay, so you're making me see 16, 17 year olds in this way. Now I feel like a pervert. You know, it's like, it's weird. It's a very weird thing that I don't think a lot of times they realize. And again, this goes back to my thing of the comparison to Summer Turn Pretty. I think Summer Turn Pretty, which is why the show is very different, handle this very differently because the age demographic. I think Summer Turn Pretty is probably, I think, like 13, 14 plus. And they didn't really discuss it too much. They did a little bit, but in him just showing it, they had them kiss. It was the perfect setting. We knew it was about to go down. And then we saw them after and they talked about it being their first time, whatever. So it's like, that's sometimes all you need. You don't need all the extra thing. And again, if you don't want it to be like this perfect, you know, there is a way to do that and just show that it can be awkward and it can be this and it can be that. But you don't need to show everything, is my point. Yeah, and do not like the fact that there's this notion that people in high school have to have sex if they're in a relationship. I just think it's not a good influence on young kids and not a good pressure to put on them either, because it's like, yeah, you can be, you know, lovey-dovey. I'm not going to say in love, because can high school people be in love? You can be lovey-dovey. You can care for the person immensely. But for it to be like, oh, rite of passage, like, of course, we're going to have sex. Like, that doesn't always happen. It doesn't always have to be the next step in a relationship, especially in high school. Important relationships with the significant other does not have to equal sex, and there shouldn't be an expectation for it. Again, especially for high schoolers or middle schoolers too. Middle schoolers be doing some stuff like that now too. So you're in love, you're in a relationship, now you have sex. That's how it works. Like, no. I feel like it's not the greatest influence on young kids feeling like they need to make that step if they're in a relationship. And it's already portrayed so much on TV and in movies. It's already heavily portrayed on screen and young kids already feel that unnecessary pressure. Since this show is about teenagers and all the relatable trial and tribulations they go through, why the hell should it be for only adults? But obviously, this gets the second season, and they kind of rush through the high school portion of this show to get to the college, I think, to make it a college-centric show and about that part. And this was kind of a backstory and their relationship and how they know each other and how they and who these characters are as people and why they are the way they are, both with each other and as individuals. And then the story will start when they get to college, at least the story they want to tell. On that note, I can see, but I think in general, not making this targeted towards teenagers, it can be in a college, but not making this 16 plus, like, why did it have to be 18 plus with sex, nudity, all, like, I just think, and I think it's also kind of weird, like, you want grown adults, like, you know, like, watching high school kids, like, it's just strange to be like, this is fucked up. And the thing is like, I would say it's like Euphoria, but honestly it's not, because Euphoria is a different beast, because we can all agree that Euphoria doesn't relate to the masses. It's not supposed to relate to the masses. It's about someone's story. It's about a specific person's personal story, and not everyone has that story, and it's a unique story, which is why it was turned into a TV show. So it's not meant to be relatable in every way. It's just meant to tell the story of these characters' lives. This is more supposed to be representative, and I think it not being for teenagers was a mistake, because then you see all these really good elements in and really good not even just storytelling, but showing Black love, which we don't see for young audiences anymore, not being able to see this type of content because it's 18 plus. Because, oh, some parents, well, yeah, okay, a lot of kids probably will see it anyways. There are some kids who do have strict parents where, oh, that's not where your age group. You're 14. Okay, no, you need to watch 15 or 16 and under. You need to watch this and this. And they don't even get that content. They won't even see that content when it's honestly probably best that they're the ones that see it, but then they can't. And I just think that's such a mistake. And again, long run here, yeah, I get it. I get the motive. I get the motivation for doing so, but I'm just not a fan of that. I just think there's just, in general, too much sexual content when they get together, and I don't want to say unnecessary again. It's distasteful, if I'm being honest. I think even them, like, when they're, like, making out in his room, it's like you're in his house. Even when they're in the, like, you guys are trying to do stuff in the house with his parents there. Like, what are you, what is your goal here? You guys were doing stuff in a movie theater. Go out, like, leave the house and try it. Like, even when they're in a swimming pool and the brother jumps in and they're, like, doing stuff. It's like, why are you trying to do this with people in the house? Like, that's kind of gross and icky. Like, just weird. And it's just unnecessary. Like, do we need to see all that? I don't. And then you have another example, the nudity with the girl in Martha's Vineyard. Her actions in general, she's a thirsty bitch, but that wasn't even the issue. For me, it was the fact that, okay, you're gonna be all scandalous, you know, just show her boobs to him, whatever. Why the fuck did we need to see your boobs? That wasn't the focus of the scene. That wasn't the point. That wasn't the focus point. Focus point was Justin being unbelievable, like, just shocked. Like, what the hell is wrong with this girl? And being low-key impressed. So just panning to his reaction, or just cutting to his reaction, and then we see her shirts lifted up, but we don't actually see what's under her shirt, would have been enough. But it's like they did it just because we can show nudity. So, like, that's what it felt like. No, thank you. That just, when I saw that, I was like, jump scare. Jump scare. In the worst way possible. Now, let's talk about this. When Justin finally realizes that music is what he wants to do. And by the way, I'm kind of bouncing around the story a bit. I'm not going too cohesively. I am in some ways, but in other ways, I'm kind of just talking about the focus points that I want to talk about and the main things that I want to talk about. None of it really contradicts each other timeline-wise. If so, I will explain that. But yeah, this isn't, like, directly in line with each event. But Justin, you know, talking about that's who I am, music is what I love, you don't know who I am. Like, it's 2018. That was not that long ago. People have proven to make a living off those types of careers. And it should not be that surprising to the fam that has a good amount of money that he can do it too. And I just thought it was really strange that it was like, this is what I want to do. I know you don't understand it, but it's like not even the father went to college. So, and he has this great successful career. Like, I don't understand what the logic behind being so confused at his career path.
You guys have the means that can allow him to do what he loves for work, which many people don't get the option of pursuing. And I also think a big reason for that is the mother's need to brag about her son and his successes. If you remember in the show, once she finds out he got into Northwestern, she calls all her friends. It's more about her and the way it looks and the way it reflects on her that he's going to schools like this, so that when she goes to meet with her friend, she'd be like, oh, your son's going to this school, my son's going to this school, your daughter's going to all my it's more about that than his actual life, because she could, if that were the case, she would be able to see this is not what he wants and this is not what makes him happy. Because at the end of the day, you made this money, you've made this life for them, so they can do the things you weren't able to do and do things they're passionate about, because they can. A lot of people aren't able to, and the fact that they have the ability and access and they have the means to do so, Why not do so? It's, now we're going to get a bit controversial here. I can't lie. We're going to get back a bit controversial here. There is a little too much talk about being Black. In my opinion. Tries a little bit too hard to appeal to an audience.
And listen, there's nothing wrong with doing this. There's nothing wrong with emphasizing certain cultural differences in order to make things more realistic and relatable for people. Obviously, there's nothing wrong with that. I think for me, it was the overemphasis on these topics. At the end of the day, the whole point is to make sure the audience knows who this family is and the way they think. And we already got that. It was fine, but then they just kept doing it, and it got to the point where it was just hard to watch.
Saying things once does the job. Like the opening dialogue that the father has with Justin before he goes to the party
was enough. You know, we know how the family operates and the way they think, him saying, white girls don't do it. I mean, that whole, it was just hilarious and very true. And then right after he's talking with his friend, he's like, you know, I'm lactose intolerant. Again, that's funny. Like, I saw it and I was like, okay, that's funny. But then they just go on and on with the father saying, you should have mentioned she was Black to your mother, when he, you know, messes up and his mother punishes him for this girl that she doesn't know is Black. And then more than anything, and she says, you know, more than anything, we want you to end up with a Black girl. And it's like, this is like all separate occasions, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with saying, but it's just they reiterate this over and over and over again. And then after he wins the game, after he makes that really good, he has that really good performance, they say, a man can only do something like that if he's got a Black girlfriend or a Black girl on his arm or whatever. And the mother dances and say, my baby got a Black girl. And again, all these events separately, there's nothing wrong with these. And nothing wrong with it together either. It's just for me, my personal preference. It just, the more they kept reiterating it, the more it starts to get kind of cringy and a little bit preachy. Like, hey, this is, you know, and it starts to get less and less natural, you can say also. And when I tell you it's so overdone, I haven't even scratched the surface of the amount of times just that is brought up.
Like, when you look back to her other shows, like The Game and Girlfriends, they were Black shows, but she wasn't needing
to say, hey, we're Black and we're proud every 5 seconds. There's a line in one of the episodes where he says, I know better than to tell a Black man to turn down his music,
but I also know not to disrespect a Black woman. What does that have to do with Black? Like, you don't disrespect women, period. Like, what, you know, like, what does that have to do with being Black? It's such an unnecessary thing, and it's so just stupid. Like, oh no, can you imagine that sentence? I know better not to disrespect a Black woman. You should know better not to disrespect any women. Like, what? The line was not lining there. I'm sorry, it was not. Dialogue was not dialoguing there. And this happens multiple times. Justin getting in to Northwestern after working for a summer is so stupid and unrealistic, along with a rushed essay. We're just pulling stuff out of our ass now. We're simply pulling stuff out of our ass. Huh? This man is getting into Northwestern, a prestigious, I believe, Ivy League. Let me look it up. I don't want to be chatting out of my ass like this show is.
Okay, yeah. I was wrong. Northwestern is consistently ranked among the top universities in the United States and globally. You're telling me this man got into, and again, after he had poor grades, his GPA was like 2.7, and he worked for basically a summer, and then rushed his college essay. Like, you're, and then you're telling me he got in. What is this bullshit? Like, what is this unrealistic bullshit?
And I'm sorry, the whole idea that going to a prestigious college is the only way to be seen as being accomplished is crazy. Whether you're going to an Ivy League or community college, you're attempting a higher learning education. That should be celebrated. Yes, you should be proud when you've worked hard to get into an Ivy League, but to work hard and get into a college is already, and to get into any college is already an accomplishment on itself. The fact that parents, a lot of parents don't see it that way is really, it really sucks.
Also, the trope of being stuck between two great opportunities is something I can never get on board with. That you got into your dream school and you got the job opportunity of your life. Okay, figure that out on your own. I don't give a like, what? That trope. Well, and that's fine. Like, the thing is, it's a trope. I'm not gonna like say it's a bad one. I'm just gonna say I will never get on board with it. That is just such a, I would never even come to a friend with that problem. I would never be like, oh my God, I got into the best school in the country and I have the best job opportunity. What do I do? If I'm not coming to a friend about it, why would I want to watch that? Like, I would never do that. I would just make a decision and be like, oh, I got this really good opportunity. I would never like complain about that. That's not something to complain about. That's something to be praised about and something to be like proud of yourself about. So just come and complain, oh my God, I can't believe this, like shut up. Yeah, just something I would never get bored with. Like, bro, pick your passion and move on. In my opinion, switching gears, Justin's mother forcing Keisha to tell her mother about the sex tape was extremely unnecessary. I think she gets way too involved in their relationship. Just in general, they're teenagers and she's treating it, the relationship, as if it's like a marriage.
I mean, the way she's implemented into the family, cooking with the father, doing puzzles with the mother, playing video games with his little brother, is just too much. That's stuff you do when you're about to marry someone and you want to make a good impression on the family and you want to be a part of that family. I mean, like, that's the only time one would need to be integrated into the family in that way. What I don't like is how serious they make this relationship. I know for me, if I were to be in a relationship in high school, I would want it to be a high school relationship. Knowing and respecting respecting the family of your significant other is one thing. However, getting super close and just, again, being part of, like, almost being part of that family turns it into another level of commitment, which is just completely unnecessary for anyone in high school or for them. And that goes for them.
And treating it that serious will make the kids think of it that serious and not allow them to grow outside of that relationship. And it'll just feel very hindering. Like, what if we start to get bored with each other? And, you know, it's like, it was way too much for me. And for me, it's like, I can't, if I was one of those kids, I'd be like, no, like, stop. I need your mother's phone number. Can you imagine? Like, bitch, they're not getting married. Like, it's a high school relationship. I want to make sure we're on the same page with these two kids. Like,
I want your mother's phone number is only warranted if she wants to be friends with her or reconnect with her. Asking for the number as if they're going on a play date. Like, at the end of the day, they are 17, 18 years old. Treat it like it is. And same goes for Keisha and her situation with the sex tape and not telling her mom. Like, you raise your son to act correct, but at the end of the day, that stuff is between Keisha and her mom. And so if Justin chooses to be involved, then that becomes their problem. You can only tell him what you believe is the best decision he can make for that. If he decides to take that advice, he decides to take it. But if he doesn't, he doesn't. You don't force yourself on into that situation and start giving her ultimatums. Like, you're not her daughter.
Like, it's not how it works. Shut up. Shut up, shut up, shut up. The show is trying too hard to try and represent good parenting, and half of it's not good parenting. Also, Keisha's mom finding out. I don't want to go into detail, just as I haven't gone into detail about a lot of stuff in the show, for a reason. But I hate it when kids hide and lie to their parents for so long because they get scared of how they react, and then when they tell them, they're like, "Oh my God, that's why I didn't want to tell you." It's like, if you lie and hide things for this long, they wouldn't have reacted that way. Like, a lot of times it's not even about the initial action. Usually it's the fact that you lied for this long. And just like how you get hurt, parents get hurt too. It's like, "Oh, you didn't trust me," and that can exacerbate into anger. But a lot of times when it's just the action and they see you come forward and they see you trust them with this information, they will usually a lot more understanding. But when you hide and lie, that's when the anger comes out. So it's so stupid to me. Like, I'm scared that they're gonna react, and they react like, "Oh my God, I just wanted to tell you." It's like, and then now we bring in Keisha's father. We haven't seen him throughout the season. We've dropped little gems onto him. Now, when the father meets Justin, it's a theatrical performance. It's a performance. It's a scene. A scene is caused, but it's honestly all of Justin's fault. He is completely to blame because he invited that type of behavior. Do I agree with the father's behavior? No, I thought it was very childish. I thought it was very stupid, and I thought it was very. I wouldn't take that. If I were Justin, I wouldn't take that. I'd be like, "Who do you think you're talking to? Who do you think you're talking to?" But also, I wouldn't invite that kind of behavior. First strike goes to the fact that Justin did not introduce himself to his parents right, to her parents, sorry, to her parents right away. As soon as he walked into the house, should have found his father, shook his hand, introduced himself, because also he knew he would be there too. It'd be different if he didn't know if they were close or he didn't know if she would be there. She gave him the lowdown on him. And even like, I know he's met his mom, but even could have, said hi to his mom. But he went straight to the food. He didn't give that respect. So, first strike gone. Secondly, not looking the father in the eye when speaking. Second strike. Like we know this. We know the drill. We know the drill. You speak to parents, you speak to elders, you speak to especially to someone you want to res that you want just anyone. You speak to anyone in the eye. Now, I'm saying this. I'm not too good at this. But this is a man we're talking about. We're not the same. And secondly, I try and work on it. It's a problem that I have, and I try and work on it. And yeah. Okay, and secondly, I'm not a man, so don't hate me like that. Yeah, you look, but when you are introducing yourself to a father, your girlfriend's father, you look in the eye, firm handshake. Like, that's just
Basic rule of thumb.
third strike. Stuttering over his answers when talking about his future. I mean, you're talking about your future, you're talking about something that you have control over. You should be very.
You should be able to speak about you and your future without stuttering or trembling. I mean, you're 18 years old, a grown ass man, for God's sake. Let's be for real. It also just shows you know who you are, you know what you want to do, you have a strong sense of self. I mean, you're 18, you want to have some idea of who you are at that point. And that's also very important for a parent to know that their kid is with someone who not only has a plan but is self-assured.
And the thing is like, for me, I know for me, I'm not very good at articulating myself in those situations. Sometimes I'm not too good at expressing myself with words. Sometimes I do stumble upon my words. But that's why if I was meeting a parent for the first time, I would practice this, especially if I know I'm not really good at this part. I would practice it, what I'm gonna say. It doesn't have to be like a memorized speech, but it's just you know what you're gonna say, how you're gonna say it, and then you do your thing. But I think for him, he was literally I don't not looking him in the eye like you're inviting him to embarrass you because you've already embarrassed yourself. Like, let's be honest. And at the end of the day, that is his little girl. That this is his little girl's boyfriend. He's not proving to be good for her or being the right type of man for her. So of course he's gonna react like that. Again, do I think that's the proper way to react? Hell no. If that were me, I'd be like, "You're not talking to me like that. I'm gonna leave. Shape up." Or, don't talk to me like that. I don't appreciate that. We'll talk about the ending a bit, because I really don't think it was realistic for Justin to break it off, to be the one to break it off with her, considering how immature he is. He kind of went through the whole personal growth before turning 19, which simply isn't realistic for boys. If he were to still try to cling on to her, and she instead breaks up with him, and so he runs to music as a way to cope with this, I believe would have been a good representation and would have allowed them both to seem imperfect in the end, which is, their end wasn't death. You know, their end was the end of high school. You're not the most well-manufactured humans and the most mature people in the world just because you've graduated high school. I think that would have been a cool route to go. You know, not everyone has it figured out or has their identity figured out at that time. And I don't think he needed to fully grow to prove that he has grown, period. You know what I mean? I think that is sometimes a common issue that I've seen, especially in television, is they feel the need to grow them to their highest possible point to show, hey, this person's grown. You can grow them 2 inches and we still see there's growth. They don't have to be fully there yet, especially if it doesn't seem like that character's ready or it doesn't make sense for them. I think Justin just being like, oh yeah, I don't think this is right. This isn't right for me. Everything he said was true. And it was incredibly, I saw you like, oh my God, that's so mature and so this. But that's not how boys act. But like, boys aren't acting like that at 18. Hello? Like, you know what I mean? Like, boys are not like talking like that. They're not, they don't have that. And especially like someone like him, someone such as him, and you're going to tell me he's like this. And again, they just did try to show that he's grown, but he's grown in so many other ways that you don't need to do that. And I think, again, especially if you're gonna continue on with his story, and whether you're not gonna continue on either way, I think that would have been a really cool way to show the imperfections of humans and of teenagers and of young people and of youth, and how sometimes they don't make the right decision for themselves, but sometimes life makes those decisions for themselves that leads them down the correct path. And I think that's oftentimes the way things go when things start to look up for people. Again, like I said, if he was still like he was before, clingy to her, and then she came to that conclusion, hey, I think we should break up, and he didn't want to, and as a way to cope, like he did with everything else, and like he did with his first breakup with Keisha, he runs to music, and that's where he gets this, you know, career going and where he gets this drive going. And it's not necessarily his decision. I think that would have been a cooler and a more accurate ending. Not even cool. I would not use the word cooler. That was a bad choice of words, but more accurate depiction of the thought processes of young men and boys. Yeah, that's what I'll say about that. Now let's talk about the characters. And when I say let's talk about the characters, let's talk about Keisha and Justin. Now let's talk about Justin a little bit, because I've seen some things online with people talking about Justin being on the spectrum and this and this and this. I'm pretty sure ADHD doesn't mean you're on the spectrum, and I'm pretty sure the majority of boys have ADHD. Like, I think it's common knowledge that school is a learning style made for girls, and boys don't learn boys don't learn like that. They're not meant to learn in that way. A lot of them need to move while they're learning. They need that active bone in their body, you know, working. A lot of the times they're not great at focusing in those senses. Like, the majority of boys have ADHD. Like, just because someone's undiagnosed does not mean they don't have it. The symptoms are very often there for a good amount of guys. And it's not obviously the majority, but it's oftentimes the case. It's just, it just goes undiagnosed and they just go along. I mean, they just live their lives. I mean, just look at the symptoms of ADHD and think back to your elementary, middle, and high school class of guys/boys. Then report back to me. I don't know. To put him on the spectrum is doing a bit much, in my opinion. They didn't say that in the show. They just said he had ADHD. So leave it at that. Keisha, I wouldn't put up with her. I would have been done with her. End of our story, bitch. Episode one. As soon as I find your sex tape, I'm out. And that's the thing. I don't like the fact that it's like, we can't judge her because she has a sex tape. It's like, I can. Like, we can. I'm doing that. If this is real life, if I found a girl, she has a sex tape out, she still has it. It's not about who leaked it and about, just like I'm judging the guy. And that's the thing, I'm not judging the guy either. I would be very wary of them both. And I wouldn't be rude and disrespectful and, you know, talk about them and gossip about them. But I just know personally, you know, I'm silently judging you, you know? And I don't think that's, I don't understand why it's like so taboo to do that. It's like, because it's strange. We should make this not normal. It shouldn't be normal for children to have sex tapes. So I think making it abnormal is not a bad thing. It's just talking about people and gossiping about people and making fun of people and just the women that's what's wrong. But I don't think making it abnormal is the particularly wrong point in this. And even like sometimes like Justin will when he was in the park and Keisha will make fun of him, or she makes fun of his rankings and the fact that he's on the bench saying stuff like, you know, word gets around, and then he snaps back with, you would know. And so her face instantly just drops and it becomes, oh wow, I can't believe you took it there type of situation. And that's just like not how it goes. You can't mess around with him and play around with his insecurities, but when it comes to yours, you're like, oh, fuck you. Like, that's not how it works. I hate people who do that. I hate people, especially when you start it. You can't think that you're just immune to that. You can make fun of everybody else, but they can't do the same to you. Like, that's just not how it works. Don't start something you can't finish. And especially if you know you have those kind of skeletons in your closet and everyone knows about it, I wouldn't even start that. I wouldn't even begin to even invite that sort of behavior or that sort of talk. I'm staying clear, you know, of that until I can get over it myself and until I'm able to joke about it and laugh about it. But I'm not going to joke about it and laugh about someone else in that way and then they can't do it to me. Like, not how it works, girly. Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of Keisha. Now, I've said a lot of trashy things about the show. I've basically trashed the show for 98% of this, but by no means is this show bad on any level. I want to make that very clear. There are a lot of elements in the show that did, in fact, work. And I think, for one, the cinematography was incredible, I think, through and through. But I think the standout moments for me was in the first episode that I know Regina King directed. I think she did an amazing job with that first episode, with especially the lighting and the shot choices. Their meet cute, I think I mentioned this already, was near perfection. And I think that the way she used light to create that warm energy between them, and that was kind of mirrored in the last episode when they met up again for sushi or ramen, I'm sorry. And I thought that was a really nice callback. The music choices were amazing through and through. I mean, I didn't mention this, but I think it took everybody back to 2018 in the best way. And it was a really clever strategy to invoke nostalgia into the story almost, even though this is a new couple we haven't seen, we don't know anything about, in a cool way of almost doing an entire season of just a flashback. Again, I think I'm going to reiterate this, but the next season, I'm going to guess, is going to take place in present day and in college. And so the whole first season is almost going to be like, oh, this is a flashback to their high school lives, how they met and how they're in the place they are in. And that's why I think the writing deserves a lot of credit as well. I thought that was a really clever way of telling, a really clever and unique way of telling a story, and their a love story in particular. I also thought the direction was great. I think it stayed consistent throughout the show, and I can tell the showrunner, Barbara Kill, knew what she wanted the piece in its entirety to be, because it did fit together very well. And having different directors, different episodes can sometimes, it can stand out, and it really didn't. And it flowed all very simultaneously and unanimously. And it really did feel like it could have all had been one big movie. Like I said before, I thought the writing was very impressive. I thought they captured the Gen Z language very well, and the voices of the old heads.
I think there are times when some conversations feel a bit manufactured and don't feel as natural. I think that came in with the breakup between Keisha and Justin the last time. Sometimes the conversation between the parent and the child, it felt more like the dialogue was speaking to the audience and less to the character, which appeared a few times. But I think a standout plus was a moment between Keisha and her mother. I think their first scene together in the bed was so grounded and real. And I think, now that I'm thinking about it, was the most relatable but also natural interaction. Most natural interaction between a parent and a child, but one of the most in terms of all the characters. Because I think all the kids had very natural delivery and the dialogue was on point for all of that. So have to give it up there. To celebrate the beginning of a new season, we are going to play an old but goodie game that we once did on this channel that I want to bring back. And maybe we're going to bring this back as just a summer annual thing because summer is approaching or it's here. I still don't know.
We are going to decide if forever is worth it or not.
Worth it. It is worth it. Despite all of the negative things I've had to say about the show, it does not take away from the fact that this is something that we needed in mainstream media. This is something that people have been looking and wanting to see. And it was by no means a bad project. It was by no means a waste of time. The characters, the interactions, the realness in not only story but dialogue is something that deserves to be praised. And more than anything, what this show is going to do is it's hopefully going to spark more artists and creatives to produce more projects like this. And even though it didn't connect with me to the fullest extent, or really in a lot of ways, it did with others. And I can separate something that isn't my cup of tea and is subjectively, honestly, just good. And at the end of the day, even if I felt the way I did feel about this, it is something that I'm glad we saw and was done and it was made. And it was made as good as it was. Like, this was a subjectively quality TV. Production design is another thing that was really stood out to me. All their, specifically Keisha's room, and just a lot of set pieces that were in this, really deserves to be praised and deserves a lot of recognition, because especially in Netflix shows, they don't usually have a big budget and it shines in those itty bitty details and nitty gritty details. But you really couldn't sense that at all in this specific project. So that is why I will say this show is worth it. But it seems like we're wrapping it up a bit here. I will say it did get renewed for a second season, dos season. I don't want to go too deep into predictions just because I don't really care too much. And there's really not much I can say. All I do know is obviously it'll be in college and I think it'll be a lot more focused and probably go a lot slower through the college life because I think that's what they want to focus on. That's pretty much all I have to say about predictions, just because the way the story was left, the rest of the show is so open-ended and really anything can happen. So I think this is just one where we'll have to wait and see. Thank you guys so much for listening if you stuck with me. I've been so happy to talk about the show. This is my first episode back. Also, I didn't mention this, should have mentioned this in my intro, but this is season 3, baby, episode 1. Perfect show to start off this season. I will give you guys a little preview into what's coming up next, whatever. Because there are a lot of summer shows coming out, we got a lot of big hits that are coming in soon. I will be doing a lot of TV shows probably in the next couple weeks. It's always more difficult for me, I can't lie, because it's a lot more content to go through. But I will try and split it up with some movies at times. But yeah, I just want to get people ready for that. A lot of new age stuff similar to Forever, but I am gonna go back to the 90s and 80s and 2000s, and we're gonna mix it up just like this podcast is all about. But because there is such a rollout of new content,
new popular content, I feel that I have to. I have a duty to talk about them. But I will be going back to, you know, I have a couple up my sleeve that I'm thinking about doing. So, yeah. I will see you guys when I see you guys. I'm out. When it comes to the conversation about PWIs, the reason I, a lot of times, I can't take it seriously and the complaining seriously is because 98% of the time, you are choosing to go to those institutions. You are choosing to go to a college that is predominantly white because you believe it'll give you better opportunities. You're going to a private school, high school that is predominantly white because you think it's better for your child than a public school or something that's not predominantly white. So it's really hard to sit here and listen to people complain about it because it's like you can choose not to. You can go to an HBCU, or you can, you know, go to a public school where you will see more people that look like you. But that's the price you pay if that's, you know, where you believe you will get the best version of yourself. So especially now when there's so many resources and opportunities where you don't have to be in that position. It's not like it was before. We didn't have our own spaces. You have your own spaces. You just choose not to go. And then when you go to spaces where you know you're not welcome, you try to fight it. It's like, okay, well, what, you know, just let's be a little more conscious about that. That conversation needs to die.